You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, he is a national treasure. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. Enjoyed yourselves. Barbecue.
Took a moment to reflect.
Good.
Hope that everybody did. And I know that that is a very sacred holiday for you, Scott. I assume you saw your mother over the weekend.
And my dad.
And your sweet dad. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we are efforting this. I just got an email from good friend of the show, Lou Eisenbrandt, who we've had in here several times to talk about her experience in Vietnam. And she writes to me, we learned that today, Diane Carlson Evans, who pioneered and championed the addition of the Women's Memorial with respect to service in Vietnam, mm-hmm. and the Nurses Memorial, passed away this past week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And I asked her, you know, you want to pop on the program for a little bit, 5 o'clock, and tell us how that all came to be? Because I think it was many, many, many years, and it took many women and their voices who did serve in Vietnam mm-hmm. to get that memorial added. And one of the things Lou always says is she'll run into men, not all veterans, but some men, and she'll say, where did you serve? And she will reply, well, I served here. And a lot of men will say, no, you didn't. There were no women in Vietnam. And Lou always very gently but firmly corrects right. them and right. says, if you did not see any women in Vietnam, then you must not have been
injured.
Critically wounded, and for that I'm thankful. But there very much were women serving in Vietnam. So I want to see, she is just such a great interview, Scott. If she can join us at 5 to talk a little bit about Diane Evans' service and what it took to get that memorial added, I think that'd be a great just educational moment for everybody.
So the craziest thing happened to me over the weekend. You know, my brother's family was in town, and we did the barbecue, and we went and visited my dad up in Leavenworth yesterday. But and we'll get to that in a little bit. On Saturday afternoon, my mom decides, hey, let's all go grab pizza at this new Italian restaurant that opened up down the street from her house. Rather nondescript. It's in a strip mall.
Yeah.
It's called Tony's. And it was nice. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's me and my mom and T and my brother's family and Maya. And we're just having lunch. And I feel a tap on my left shoulder. And I think, oh, this is going to be, you know, somebody from the neighborhood or maybe somebody who likes the show and they want to just say hi or whatever. And I turn and I look. And I go, oh my, and I put my hand over my mouth and I go, oh my God, oh my God. And, you know, when you were a kid in high school, you had lunch with probably the same group of people every time. I had lunch with Penle McLean, DJ McKenna, and a guy named Dirk Fowler. Standing to my left, 41 years after I last saw him in Heidelberg, Germany, was Dirk Fowler.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And I said, what are you doing here? And he looks at me and he goes, I was about to ask you the same question.
Yeah.
And I said, I live here. He goes, I live in Washington State. His daughter goes to KU. And he was in town for graduation.
Of all the restaurants.
It was... I mean, this is not, you know, Cheesecake Factory or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is a tiny little pizzeria called Tony's. And I turn to my left, and there's Dirk Fowler. I haven't seen him in 41 years.
I love those stories.
And we used to eat lunch together every single day.
I love those stories.
In high school. And I talked to him on the way in.
Tell me about your experience at the cemetery. I want to hear about it.
It was not good. I was really disappointed.
You go every year. Mm-hmm. Take your mom every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a solemn weekend.
Oh, it's a somber weekend. I mean, it's hallowed ground as far as I'm concerned. And normally it's extremely quiet. I mean, you can literally hear a pin drop in Leavenworth National Cemetery. And we were there yesterday. We went after. We didn't want to go to the ceremony, so we went afterwards. So we, which is to say, 11:30. And you know, to go see my dad, you have to walk down a hill and up a hill.
Okay.
So my mom can't go by herself. So I always, she grabs onto my arm and I walk her to dad's gravesite. And we get there and. Probably five tombstones to the right and one row behind. I would guess there were 10 people, and you would have thought, and I told this to Sam on the way in, you would have thought they had a kegger going on. I mean, it was a party. And they were lapping it up and arguing and laughing and arguing and laughing, and they were extremely loud. And I just remember at one point my mom said to me, let's just go home. And I said, no, I'm going to wait them out. I came here to see dad.
Were they just yucking it up over of one of their loved ones?
Right on top of his grave. Just there were 10 of them. They were yucking it up. There were kids crying. There were people arguing. There were jokes being told. They were trying to figure out the purpose of life.
Not the place.
Oh, my God. Have you ever, you've been to a national cemetery?
Yes,
your
my grandfather.
Buried there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is sacred ground. And I'm not saying that you can't, I don't want to be a party pooper or, I just found it horribly disrespectful.
That would be the behavior you would anticipate after everyone gathers and has a drink, after you go visit the cemetery in the backyard
and, you're
grilling burgers, not necessarily at gravesite.
Or certainly if that's the behavior you're going to have at the gravesite, you need to be on high alert. And I mean head on a swivel to make sure you're not impacting anybody else's grieving process.
Because I was sitting literally five tombstones to their left, one row in front. And I am kneeling.
Can I just ask you?
And I'm crying.
Can I please ask you, did you, knowing you as well as I know you, there are certain circumstances and situations that at our age, certain circumstances under which you correct someone else's behavior. Mm-hmm. And for me, that would be one of them.
So I
show some respect.
I thought about it. And I said to my mom, I think I'm going to say something. And my mom said, don't.
Yeah, she didn't want you to.
I mean, there were 10 of them and two of us. And mom's not in fighting shape anymore. And
well, I bet she could take some out.
Well, maybe. But we just, and literally, Dana, she said to me, let's just go.
If you were the only family there, which on Memorial Day is not going to happen. Mm-mm. If you were the only family there, no one else was around, I still think being loud and boisterous and arguing and talking, all of that stuff would be inappropriate. If you are there,
horribly inappropriate.
And there are others around you paying their respects, I think I would have said something and probably.
What would you have said?
I would have said, do you mind? Do you mind? Seriously?
Hmm.
This is hallowed ground. That's exactly what I would have said.
I did not.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Ugh. Why, Sam?
Because I don't want to start a fight.
Well, I mean, you don't want to start a fight. It's probably the biggest one, but everybody grieves differently. You also don't want to walk into that space and tell them how to grieve. They should have been more respectful of Scott and his mother, and especially in that space, you need to be respectful of the space as it is there.
Mm-hmm.
But you also don't really have the right, you don't have any ownership over that space. Do you have the right to go up and correct them? And what benefit are you going to get out of it? Even if they do quiet down, they're probably going to be cussing you under their breath.
What would Scott's waited-out approach. Yeah, what would I have won is the way I thought about it. Like, if I say something to them.
How old were they?
30s and 40s.
Men and women?
Yes.
So probably siblings and their spouses?
Sons and daughters.
Okay.
It's not about winning anything. It's about reminding people how to act when you're in public.
I mean,
especially in such a space.
I've told this story before. You should be able to hear a pin drop at Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I was there, you know, standing right there watching the soldiers guard the tomb of the unknown. I mean, that is a, oh my gosh.
You shut just, your
mouth. You don't
mouth.
Say a word. And the number of people that were taking selfies nearby and taking videos and chatting it up. And I just remember thinking, and this was many years ago, you guys, this was maybe 15 years ago. Hmm. Remember thinking, have we lost all sense of decorum here? Yes, this is a, I don't want to call it a tourist attraction, but people do go to see President Kennedy's grave and all of those things. I will never forget one of the men that was on sort of near, you can't go right up to the tomb, obviously. And one of the men that was there was standing next to a woman who dropped a water bottle, a full water bottle.
Oh, I remember this.
And it went and started rolling toward the soldiers. And a man next to her thought, well, I'll just jump under the rope and go retrieve that. And I'm here to tell you, you do not go near the tomb of the unknown or the soldiers guarding it. The response was robust.
Was it robust?
It was.
What did they say?
They were, one of the soldiers screamed in a drill sergeant voice, you do not, I don't remember the exact verbiage, approach the tomb of the unknown. And let me tell you what, he slinked on back like a, you know, child that was about to be grounded.
Yeah, I was disappointed. And you're right, Sam. People grieve in different ways. And I can accept that. But this was a family arguing and then laughing.
Yeah.
Yucking it up is the only way that I could describe their behavior.
Sounds like they were pre-gaming.
Maybe. And I just thought to myself, this is so horribly inappropriate.
Yeah.
For a place like this, you can yuck it up when you get back in the car.
Above all else, be respectful.
Yeah.
If that's how you grieve, that's how you grieve. But if you see somebody else grieving differently, be respectful of that and don't get in their way.
So you mentioned high school. When we get back, if you were caught up in this moment over the weekend, I don't think it was funny. But for the rest of us, oh man, some of the videos coming out of a graduation ceremony in Tennessee are so funny. The school staff said rain or shine.
And they meant it.
We will hold graduation outdoors, and damn did they mean it. We'll talk about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks. So we're going to try as best we can to describe the torrential downpour at the center of some severe Tuesday morning quarterbacking, and rightly so, after educators decided, rain or shine, we are going to hold graduation outside. The problem with that is, you know, in every community, you have a Brian Busby, you have a meteorologist. Mm-hmm. And it was widely forecast that they would be experiencing torrential downpours over the weekend.
Then why have it outside?
I need you to look up the video while
I've
talking.
Seen the video.
It is, you guys, all of the white chairs are lined up outside on the football field. Students are walking out in clear plastic garbage bags. As soon as the first speaker started, and you know how long it takes everyone to get into the stadium and all that, the skies opened up and it was a downpour. But they had radar, Scott. Anyone with a radar app on their cell phone knows that they should have moved this. And they are asking today, do we redo this ceremony? Now, if I were there and it was my, you know, baby's high school graduation, I would be furious. Yeah. But if you weren't there and you just, what, there's a reason this video has gone viral.
Right.
Why would you continue to hold anything in a torrential downpour?
How could you continue to hold anything? I mean, we're talking about electrical equipment.
Elderly grandparents.
50-year-old moms and dads who don't want to be out in the rain.
So what you're suggesting is, Dana, based on your synopsis with the Weather Radar app, is that this wasn't a rogue shower,
no,
that there was a massive storm front moving along?
Not one of those
west to east,
derechos.
Okay, okay.
It is just unbelievable.
Why wouldn't you move it indoors? I remember Sarah's was indoors because there was a storm coming through.
Twitter user wrote, "This looks like the most miserable celebration ever. Welcome to adulthood."
Well.
Someone else wrote, "Hey, as a 2020 graduate, y'all should be grateful. We got a virtual ceremony."
Fair point.
The superintendent today is acknowledging the difficulties the rain added to the day, but said the district held the ceremony on the football field despite knowing there was a chance of rain because the location outside allowed more loved ones to attend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they do say, based on forecasts and the radar, you know, we were hoping to get it done before the rain started. Now, yeah, the day before your forecast in the radar the day of should have shown you this thing is marching right at us. There is no getting around it. We move it inside, and your third cousin twice removed can't come. I'm sorry.
So when Sarah's was moved indoors, that was in 2019, she was given, I want to say, 6 tickets.
Yeah.
And so it was me and somebody we won't talk about, Shonda and her husband, and then both grandmas.
Yeah.
That's who went to the graduation.
How many of those would you have felt comfortable standing outside in a torrential downpour?
Never in a million years.
You can't even see the graduates on the field.
No, St. Margaret would never, no.
Well, when I graduated high school, we had a contingency plan in place. All of the seating was set up in the gymnasium.
Of course you do.
Ready for an in the moment, if it starts raining, everybody's going inside. We all got 4 tickets beforehand, which, by the way, there was no rain in the forecast. It's just spring in Kansas City.
I want to show you, Scott, all of the chairs on the football field, and there are hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And what do you see in the background? This is before the ceremony starts.
I see a storm cloud.
It's a storm cloud. You guys, clear as day. It's so dark out that the football overhead
the lights.
Outdoor lighting is illuminated because that's how dark it is out with this storm approaching. I mean,
well, shame on that high school.
What are you doing?
And can somebody explain to me the foghorn at the graduation ceremony?
Blah, 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 blah.
It's supposed to be banned. And
it is supposed to be banned.
Yes, you are supposedly, you should be asked to leave if you over-celebrate like that for your child because it then covers up the
Correct.
Next child's name.
Correct.
I was going to ask that, though. So if everybody's over-celebrating, are they really just doing a disservice by rereading their announcement every time before they read a name?
I don't know.
Because I've been to a graduation like that before where everybody was over-celebrating, and it would quiet down, and they'd go, I'd just like to remind everybody that we're celebrating at the end.
We're
it's
all
like, no
celebrating
one's listening,
at the
man.
End.
Just,
we're going to applaud at the end.
Yeah. Gonna plow
just
through
give it up.
It. You know, I will tell you, for my fourth child, they mispronounced his name.
Ooh.
And we laugh about it. Now, I was really miffed at the time because I thought, this is the fourth one you've had. You've got all this time to figure this out.
Was it his first name or his last name?
I don't even remember. I just remember going, seriously?
Hmm.
But those are things you look back on like, okay, remember that time you were graduating and Sophie had to wear a mask. Her graduation photo,
she
didn't
pull down. Was she 2020?
She was 2020. That was that lost year.
Lydia was 20. My yep. niece was 2020. They got their diplomas in their cars.
Oh, yeah. They held it that year in August or maybe it was later. I don't even remember. It was at the DAC and everyone was masked. Hmm. And
so there was a ceremony.
Yes. In her official photo, she is wearing that mask. And at the time, I could see parents saying to the kids all the way down, pull your mask down for the photo. Just pull it down.
And you can't.
And she did not. And I said, you know what? Someday in 100 years, people are going to look back at that and go, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. that was the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That was the pandemic.
I'll be darned. Would you care to guess the most misspelled words in the English language?
Supposedly, it doesn't have a B in it.
Nope.
Anything that's I before E except after C.
Yes, one.
Ceiling?
Nice.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything with double L's or double N's?
How about double S's?
Okay. Occasion.
No.
Wow. Tell me.
Necessary.
Necessary. Okay.
Business.
Yes, business.
Often misspelled as B-U-S-I-N-E-S. Busyness.
Wait a minute. B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S.
That is correct.
That is correct.
Yes.
You said often misspelled with...
B-U-S-I-N-E-S.
Gotcha.
One, yeah, one S.
Two S's at the end. Got it.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, people spell it B-U-T-I-F-U-L.
B-E-U-T-I-F-U-L.
What about religion?
Leave out the A. No. Separate.
Separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Restaurant.
Yes.
Is it on there?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Calendar.
Calendar? Mm-hmm. What's up? Why?
A-R-E-R.
Mm-hmm. Calendar versus calendar.
It is calendar,
yeah.
Not calendar.
Entrepreneur.
Definitely.
Okay. I understand definitely or definitely.
Which one is it?
It's I.
That's correct.
I was playing Spelling Bee over the weekend, and I typed in a word last night, and it said, the word does not exist. And I yelled, the hell it doesn't. And we Googled it, and that was the word, and I had no idea. How do you think you spell the word Martian?
M-A-R-T-I-A-N.
Samuel?
I believe that is correct.
I typed it in 9 times. Word does not exist. Word does not exist. Did you know Martian, please explain this to me, okay, is capitalized?
Well, yeah, they're from Mars.
Well, it's a species.
No.
This is Martian, a civilization that we're talking about.
Martian is also a common noun. I had a dream last night that the Martians came and visited me. It is capitalized only, and when you're playing the New York Times Wordle or Spelling Bee,
wait a minute.
It has to be capitalized, and they do not accept proper names or nouns.
If you were to say, you know, I had a dream last night, the Europeans came to visit me.
That's different. That's an actual place.
Mars isn't a place?
How do you know Martians come from Mars?
That's where the M-A-R comes from.
I think Martian means more collective little green men at Area 52.
No.
Area 52?
It's 51.
Whatever.
And
was it Studio 52?
Studio 54.
It's too many numbers. Martian should not be capitalized, unless the little green men are maybe from Mars and then you capitalize it. I'm saying. Well, it should just be like Kleenex.
Why would it start with Mar if they're not from Mars?
I can't handle it. I can't. It's all the green people at Area 52.
But they used to dance at Studio 51.
Got it. Anyway, the more you know.
The less I know.
Hey, we are aware of the update over the weekend on the very untimely sudden death of Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch, yeah.
And when they released the cause of death over the weekend, I reached out to the University of Kansas Health System immediately. And I said, read this on Tuesday. I know you're all on, you know, enjoying your holiday weekend. Yeah. But we're going to need to get somebody on the program to help us understand how someone at age 41 in the peak of perfect physical health. I mean, you have to be an athlete, capital A.
I agree.
Do what those drivers do to withstand the G-forces. Mm-hmm. How does someone at the peak of physical health at age 41, he is thinking he has a sinus infection one day, and then he is dead the next. And cause of death, if you missed it, was double pneumonia and sepsis.
What is double pneumonia?
Both lungs.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
And sepsis. And I want to know, does one lead to the other? What sepsis, when you say they went septic to me, That, you know, is when someone has a horrible wound and you go into the hospital. So many people end up, while they're in the hospital, getting sepsis because somehow an infection gets inside your system and starts shutting everything down.
Right.
I want someone to explain what is the connection between the pneumonia and the sepsis. And how does someone at age 41, just perfectly healthy father and husband?
Sepsis is literally a blood poison.
Yes.
And pneumonia, by the way, is the leading cause of sepsis.
He would have had access to the best health care in the world, Scott. And I wonder, for so many people that are young, and there are people who die from this, you just think you have a cold and you're feeling kind of crummy. But he was in such great shape. I think he just kept going. He was going to race a couple days later.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk to a physician about how that happens.
They have arrested suspects in the break-ins at the homes of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Idiots.
In Chile.
Yeah.
The NFL issued a warning to players in November of 2024 that a South American crime ring could target the homes of well-known football players after Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's homes were burglarized a month earlier. That proved to be the case when 7 men from Chile were charged last week with conspiracy to commit interstate transportation of stolen property by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Florida. 2 of the men were arrested in Argentina. The others were arrested in Chile.
Have you seen a picture of these idiots?
No.
They look like discarded members of a failed boy band.
Okay.
The one where they're posing with all the swag that they got.
They just look like the biggest dum-dums. And the one in the foreground of the photo is wearing a Chiefs shirt.
He's a big fan.
Huge fan.
I mean, if you take it from Travis Kelce's house, you got to wear it, right?
Mm-hmm. Investigators, by the way, uncovered the identities of the accused burglars through a traffic ticket that was issued a day before the robbery. Doesn't say how. And it wasn't just Mahomes or Kelce. Remember, Joe Burrow was on that list.
Mm-hmm. They were hitting.
There was a whole bunch of them.
Sports celebrities all over the country.
There was a New York Jets player, I believe, or Giants
player. A
couple
of NBA players. Mm-hmm.
They ended up taking more than $3.5 million.
How did they pull it off?
They are so young and they look so stupid. You know, with their selfie with all of this stuff.
What do they look like? Okay.
It does make you wonder, was there no security at any of these homes? Because you mean to tell me these guys are international crime ring robbers? Because to me, I thought it was going to be like high-end cat burglar.
Like Ocean's 11.
Like Ocean's 11. These are the biggest group of doofus ding-a-lings you have ever seen in your entire life.
So how'd they pull it off?
I don't know.
Oh, I bet they were trained to do just this one job. But then once the job's over, they're just doofus ding-a-lings.
But it wasn't just one job.
I don't think it was the same group that burglarized all of them. I think it's the same ring.
Oh, got it.
Maybe this was the special ring.
It's more oblong.
Speaking of Kelce, did you guys see they went to the NBA game
over the weekend
and Kelce fell asleep?
Oh, did he really?
There's a photo of him like doing it, and maybe he's just like going, oh, Taylor. He's just leaning on her, and his eyes are closed, and it is just the loveliest, funniest photo ever.
If your favorite team went 0-4 in the Eastern Conference Finals, you'd probably fall asleep, too.
I think that was a reaction to them getting an absolute whooping.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't a whooping.
Yeah.
It has gone viral.
Tons of good Taylor moments in that game, though.
Yes. She handed him a stick of gum, I guess.
Winking and waving at the camera. I was like, you go, Taylor.
Do you have a little bad breath?
No. I think she's just taking care of her man.
Okay.
If you were to hand Johnny a stick of gum, what would that tell Johnny?
Does it automatically, when someone hands you a stick of gum, does it automatically indicate that you could use this?
So if I ask for a stick of gum, it means I've had some onions or some coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that my breath might be offensive. If you hand me a stick of gum, that means my breath is offensive.
Or something stinks and I'm trying to eliminate your breath being the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or you smell like a brewery, eat some gum. I don't know.
He did stand up and chug a beer, and she did not look even an ounce of pleased with his activity in that moment. I was like, oh.
I thought it was funny over the weekend, Garage Beer posted, like their official Garage Beer account posted, we do have twisty tops. Some of y'all trying to get into this like you're a drunk raccoon. They have a twisty top on the Garage Beer. I thought that was funny. I've never had Garage Beer, but apparently you don't have to go to great lengths to open it.
That's
it's the Brothers.
Jason Kelsey's.
Yeah. It's the Brothers
brand.
Beer.
Yeah. Okay. You remember the case of Miss Hooker, the woman who drowned in the Bahamas?
You mispronounced, was murdered, but okay, go ahead.
Allegedly. A friend of Brian Hooker says the husband of the missing American woman had a $33,000 high-tech thermal camera on his boat and never used it to search for her.
By the way, very rare for a boat of that size, pretty common on much larger vessels. And would you like to guess, Dana, what these cameras are designed to do?
Don't they pick up heat, like in the water? It's a heat sensor.
Yep,
yes. That's why it's called a thermal camera.
Okay.
Infrared signals, heat signals for people who fell overboard.
Is that why one would? Let me rephrase my question, because I'm not a boater, fisherman, angler person. Why would one pay $33,000 for a camera on your boat? Is the only reason CYA in case somebody falls over, or is there any other use for a $33,000 thermal camera on a boat?
Sam, you would know more about this than me, but could they also be used to find schools of fish?
No, not really, because it would look at the water as one thermal sequence, right?
Yeah.
You could maybe see the group of fish, but the fish are pretty much the same temperature as the water. No, the only real thing for this camera is if somebody goes overboard and you're trying to keep track of them.
It's called a FLIR system, F-L-I-R. Mm-hmm. It's a forward-looking infrared, and it not only has night vision, but it's thermally operated and can pick up heat signatures, quote, and stuff.
Could be with the night vision, could be, you know, you just want to see what's out there. But with the infrared, the only thing you're looking for is people.
Okay, listen to this. One of the witnesses said he met the Hookers in 2023 while they were in New Orleans and recalled an interaction with Brian Hooker when he said the thermal camera system kept them all safe. He said, and I quote, "Don't worry, while we're on the dock, we're going to be completely safe. This thing has auto detect and you can set a temperature." So he said, like at night, as an example, he set the temperature on it to 86 degrees. "Then you can see my wife walking down the dock. The camera automatically started tracking her going back to our boat just because it was strictly off the heat signature." So it appeared, according to a witness, he was like not bragging about it, but saying, "Look, check this out. This is what this will do." Huh. Why would you have that and not use it when your wife, quote,
why would you have it?
Fell overboard.
That's why she had to fall overboard on the dinghy, not the main boat.
Mm.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, and when she fell over on the dinghy, he couldn't use the main boat FLIR to go find her.
Well, no, that would help him find her, Scott.
In a text message witness, Danforth, who said, "I ran into him in New Orleans. He showed me all the bells and whistles on this system." In a text message sent to him on April 6th, Brian Hooker said Lynette, quote, "swam toward the sailboat after she fell off."
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Got it.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Not have Bieber's "Oh Baby" on my bingo card today.
Scott, we play the hits.
I know we do.
And only the hits.
Story here from the New York Post. A female diner was killed in a freak accident.
Oh, we have to talk about this.
In front of her family.
Oh.
When an umbrella flew through the air and severed the artery in her neck, according to authorities in South Carolina. Dana Weinger, 56 years old, was eating Saturday with her husband and other family members when she was killed at the Driftwood Grill home of Lazy Gator in Somerton, South Carolina. Quoting here from the coroner, It was a strong, strong wind, like a microburst that came through and knocked not just the umbrella, it knocked all the furniture and other debris came onto where they were sitting.
I might want to bring this back a little later in the program, and here's why. While rare, I no longer trust those umbrellas, not on a beach, not on a patio.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things, if you've ever worked in a restaurant atmosphere, one of the things most people don't realize is how extraordinarily heavy those umbrellas are. That being said, in high winds, this is not anywhere near the first time this has happened, Scott. It happens in restaurants. It happens on the beach. I don't know what the answer is, if there's even a slight chance for a gust of wind in the forecast. That's why you'll see signs at restaurants that say you must ask for staff assistance to raise the umbrella.
Right. I was at a rooftop bar over the weekend yesterday afternoon, and it was insanely windy. And I remember when I used to work at Panera, if the umbrellas were even moving slightly, like if there was enough wind to just kind of rotate them, we would go and take them down. And it was, I think, four umbrellas in a row, and we had the very last one, and they were swaying back and forth.
Yes.
I just stood up and held on to it because I was not about to die. But nobody came to take them down.
For fear that they would be lifted up and impale someone?
Yeah, I mean, those systems aren't perfect. They're held in there with a screw-tight situation at the bottom, but the more they wiggle back and forth, that screw job that's holding it in gets looser and looser, and one upburst, and all of a sudden your artery has been impaled in your neck by a flying umbrella.
The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, because of this, now endorses a strict standard for these types of umbrellas, not only the manufacturing, but also the anchoring of this. If you look this up, Scott,
I'm not laughing.
I know, but there is some reporting that globally there's around 1 million injuries and deaths a year because of these things. It's prolific enough that when you look into it, the first things that start popping up are the lawyer websites.
For umbrella
Scott,
death.
Or severe injuries.
You type in, can an umbrella? And the first thing Google brings up is, kill me.
And the answer is?
From the Herald, from the Herald Miami, and this is a few years ago, this common household item is killing millions of people. They are reporting 2 million deaths globally a year.
No way.
Scott, I swear to you.
No way.
I saw the number 2 million quite a while.
I bet.
Quite a bit.
Most of those, and by most, I'm thinking like 85-90% are a beach situation or just somebody's home umbrella that they did not tie down in any way.
And I couldn't help but notice when we were in Cancun in early April, you go to the pool and there are the umbrellas and they're all tied up and everything. If you even try to touch the umbrella, okay, to lift it up to shade your little pool chairs, the staff will come running over.
We got it.
You are not allowed to touch the umbrellas yourself.
It says the most dangerous type is the type found at the beach because their size and screw-like bases meant to keep the umbrella upright in the sand become deadly weapons on a windy day.
I'll be darned.
I told you got to watch out for that screw job.
Seriously.
Really, Sam?
You got to make sure it's secure. You don't want your umbrella flying away and
willy-nilly
taking you out.
I don't disagree. Safety first, Sam. Safety first. When we get back in the 3 o'clock hour, we have confirmed the University of Kansas Health System to talk about. Okay. None of the doctors here obviously were directly involved in the care or lack thereof of motor racing superstar Kyle Busch. Mm-hmm. But they know a whole lot about pneumonia and sepsis. And how is it a perfectly healthy, the most fit a man could be, is just dead at the age of 41.
Big Slick is in town this weekend on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Kathy Nelson, the CEO of the Sports Commission.
Visit KC,
that's right. And Bill Glass, a.k.a. Dr. Rick, will be joining us in studio. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.